the processional hymn 189, as with gladness men of old did the guiding star behold. Welcome, everybody, to this service on the third Sunday of the Epiphany, when our thoughts focus, first of all, on Jesus' call to the first disciples. It is also the Sunday in the midst of the annual octave of prayer for Christian unity, when we pray for an increased understanding between our various Christian churches. We begin with the opening greeting on page 201. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
From the rising of the sun to its setting, my name is great among the nations, and in every place incense is offered to my name, and a pure offering, for my name is great among the nations, says the Lord. Almighty God,
Almighty God,
to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you. And mercy through Jesus our Lord. Amen. Hear what our Lord Jesus Christ says. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to intercede for us in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let us then confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned in thought and word and deed, and in what we have left undone. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may walk in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Almighty God, whose Son revealed in signs and miracles the wonder of your saving presence, renew your people with your heavenly grace, and in all our weakness sustain us by your mighty power, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, who said to your apostles, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you," look not on our sins, but on the faith of your church, and grant it the peace and unity of your kingdom, where you are alive and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Old Testament reading is from the book of Jonah, chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, saying, "Get up, go to Nineveh, that great city, and proclaim to it the message that I tell you." So Jonah set out and went to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly large city, a 3 days' walk across. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's walk, and he cried out, 40 days more, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." And the people of Nineveh believed God. They proclaimed a fast, and everyone, great and small, put on sackcloth. When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil ways, God changed his mind about the calamity that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle is from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 7, beginning at verse 29. "I mean, brothers and sisters, the appointed time has grown short. From now on, let even those who have wives be as though they had none, and those who mourn as though they were not mourning, and those who rejoice as though they were not rejoicing, and those who buy as though they had no possessions, and those who deal with the world as though they had no dealings with it. For the present form of this world is passing away." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The gradual hymn, after which the young people may withdraw for Sunday school, number from Thanks and Praise, 131, "Sing of Andrew, John's Disciple."
Thank you.
Hear the gospel of our Savior Christ according to St. Mark, chapter 1, beginning at verse 14.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of each one of our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. It's not unusual to begin a sermon with a story. So here goes, and just imagine this, that there was once a little Scottish girl living in the United States who, very sadly, her parents died, and she was sent to live with an aunt in England. Now, she didn't quite fit in. Scottish girl in an English village, and so forth. But her aunt cared for her. She had a relatively normal life, and she had her own room. Her name was Amelia Pond, and she was 7 years old. In her room, there was a large crack in the wall, and sometimes it seemed like she could hear voices coming from it. It scared her somewhat, so one night she prayed to Santa Claus, as that was the only benevolent being she actually understood that could do something, that he would send someone to fix the crack in her wall. And suddenly and dramatically, she heard a loud noise outside. She looked out the window and saw a large blue police call box had smashed the garden shed. She was a rather brave little girl, so she decided to take a look. The call box was on its side, and the doors opened up to the sky, and light shone out of it like a big present. And then human hands emerged over the side of the box, and out came a rather disheveled young man. The young man was quite nice, if at first glance a little weird. But he said he would help her with the crack in her room. So she invited him in, as her aunt was out for the evening. He was very hungry, but he couldn't remember what he liked to eat, so he told her that since she was Scottish, she could certainly fry up something. She fed him a variety of things, and he finally settled on fish sticks with custard as his favorite. Then they got down to business about the crack in her wall. Once the crack was solved, the man said he had to fix the police call box and that he would come back in 5 minutes so that they could continue their conversation. The little girl knew she hadn't much time,
So she raced to our bedroom, got her suitcase out, packed it, got her coat and a warm hat on, and ran down to the garden to sit and wait for the box and the man who called himself the doctor to come back. She didn't know who he was, but she knew she wanted to go with him. For those of you who are not familiar with the BBC television show Doctor Who, this story is from the first episode of Series 5. And it poses the question, what causes a person to leave their normal lives to follow someone they barely know, someone who may actually be viewed by others as dangerous? Although our girl Amy in the Doctor Who episode had more contact with the Doctor than Simon, Andrew, James, and John initially did with Jesus, the situation asks the same question. The Doctor was offering Amy a bigger world than she knew, and Jesus was offering those first disciples something even greater, a call to be fishers of people, to be disciples. Would you take the chance? I certainly would have to think about it. The Gospel of Mark's reading today doesn't mention that the fishermen had ever heard of Jesus. This was their first encounter. God broke into their ordinary world in an extraordinary way through Jesus' call, and that call demanded a response. These guys were established fishermen, and they had a trade and maybe a little education. They were nobodies in the aristocracy of the time, but so were 99% of the people generally. These guys weren't on the margins. Simon Peter was married and his family home in Capernaum, later became a center for operation. Good news. James and John were part of their family's successful fishing business that actually had hired workers. These were not starry-eyed youth, but grown men who were established members of their society. This decision to follow Jesus placed a burden on all their families in one way or another. And yet, they did it. Would we? Do we? So often we want to be like Jonah from our Hebrew scripture reading today. We hear God's call and we turn the other way and run, not walk, as far as we can go. We don't want to disrupt things, especially things that we've worked so hard for. We hear other voices saying that we can't make a difference, so we just need to make do. And we end up with Jonah in the belly of a great fish, out of touch with God and out of touch with our meaning and purpose that God is trying to gift us with. To repent and believe in the good news, as Jesus asks us in our New Testament reading from the Gospel, means that we must turn to God and turn away from all the voices calling us to walk some other path. What a paradox this is. We are often afraid of God, afraid to follow the very one who is our rock and our salvation. It doesn't feel safe to follow God, does it? Even though it is only with God that we know the deepest peace, the greatest protection when we are weary, the healing that makes us whole, the call that echoes to our bones. But even with all those things, we know that God is not tame. We don't know how the Holy Spirit will move. We can't control God, and that perhaps scares us. Being Christians makes us risk takers. As the English theologian Charles Raven once said, religion involves adventure and discovery and a joy in living dangerously. When we hear the words, "the word of the Lord came to so-and-so," we know that the person who is experiencing the word of the Lord is in for a life-changing experience. The word translated as came actually means happened in Hebrew. Think about how that changes our story of Jonah. The word of God happened to Jonah a second time. Words are important. Jonah knows what to expect when the word of God happens to a person and they refuse to respond. Jonah ran the other way the first time and ended up in the belly of a huge fish. So, the second time, Jonah responds to God with faithfulness and set out to warn the people of Nineveh of their impending destruction. Jonah had learned discipleship the hard way. Discipleship comes with a cost. It means we might have to give up a comfortable, safe life. It means we turn away from the voices that plague us and follow the one who is leading us to a new way of being, the one that is happening to us. We don't have to worry or fear, however. We bring to God's service all the gifts and abilities we already have, and we trust that we will always receive new gifts and the power to use them. It is unsettling. We are not used to it. We're sometimes used to maintaining the status quo. But we have this one. We have this one beautiful life that we know of, and it demands that we give it our best, no matter what our age, our education, our economic status, our insecurities. No matter what. And who knows what our best is better than God. In the first episode of series one of Doctor Who, the Doctor invites a girl named Rose to be his traveling companion after a minor adventure. She asks him, "Is it always this dangerous?" And the Doctor replies, "Yes." She makes excuses and declines his offer. The Doctor steps into the police box, and as it fades away, making a distinctive sound, Rose walks away with her boyfriend. Suddenly, they hear it come back. The Doctor peeks his head out and says, "By the way, did I mention it also travels in time?" And leaves the door open. Rose doesn't hesitate, but runs to the open door to a new, unexplored life. Where in your life are you asking God, "Isn't this dangerous?" Where in your life is God waiting for you to discover the joy in living dangerously? The door is open, and God's hand is extended. Will you follow me? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.
On page 205, we affirm our faith on the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and we look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, you promised through your Son, Jesus Christ, to hear the prayers of those who ask in faith. Lord of your people, may your church be always alert in your service, ready to hear new calls for the coming of the kingdom. We pray for this diocese and for David, our bishop, in this week of the fourth anniversary of his consecration. Give him wisdom, vision, courage, and creativity in all his work and all his decisions throughout the coming year. And we pray too for this group of parishes. Grant to all Christian people the mutual love which is the duty of those called to be your own. During this week of prayer for Christian unity, strengthen our respect for those who acknowledge Christ in ways different from ours, and draw us towards the unity that is your will. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of creation, cast out the distrust that separates people of different cultures and backgrounds. Bless Charles, our King, the Prime Minister, Rishi Sunak, the Secretary of State, Chris Heaton-Harris, and the government. Also, President Michael D. Higgins, the Taoiseach Leo Varadkar, Taoiseach and Micheál Martin, and government in the Republic. Give to our local political representatives and all of positions of responsibility in Northern Ireland your wisdom in making decisions that affect the lives and futures of others. Draw all to be of one mind, open to the heavenly message that Christ has brought into the world. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of our relationships, be present among our families, our friends, our colleagues. If any are called to particular service in your purpose, especially during the present health emergency and cost of living crisis, give them ears to hear and wills to follow you. As people feel the financial strain during this ongoing period. Bring them comfort and peace, reminding them that you are there with them and for them. Provide for them in their time of need. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of all healing, may the compassion of Christ still prevail to heal the sick and feed the hungry through the divine love that never fails. As more people become sick during these winter months, renew the energy of the doctors, nurses, and healthcare workers as they work with their patients. We pray for all who are bereaved, that you will grant them the assurance of your love in their loss. We pray in particular at this time for Tim and Gail Gibson and the family circle on the passing of Tim's father. Lord, in your mercy. We remember and give thanks for those who have fulfilled their work on earth and entered into rest. Give us grace to follow their example and to be vigilant to the end. Accept our prayers through Jesus Christ our Lord, who taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We do not presume. Trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord, whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him and he in us. Amen. We stand. Our Savior Christ is the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there shall be no end. The peace of the Lord be always with you. The offertory hymn 438, O Thou who at thy Eucharist didst pray. Thank you. follow the second communion prayer on page 212. At the appropriate time, the Holy, Holy, Holy may be found in the inset at the back of the prayer book. Let us pray. The Lord is here. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. All glory and honor, thanks and praise be given to you at all times and in all places, Lord, Holy Father, true and living God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. For he is your eternal Word, through whom you have created all things from the beginning and formed us in your own image. You have revealed in him your eternal plan of salvation and showed him to be the light of all the nations. His glory has shone among us, glory as of the only Son from the Father. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we proclaim your great and glorious name, forever praising you and singing. Merciful Father, we thank you for these gifts of your creation, this bread and this wine, and we pray that we who eat and drink them in the fellowship of your Holy Spirit, in obedience to our Savior Christ, in remembrance of his death and passion, may be partakers of his body and his blood, who in the night he was betrayed took bread, and when he had given you thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup, and again giving you thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Father, with this bread and this cup, we do as our Savior has commanded. We celebrate the redemption he has won for us. We proclaim his perfect sacrifice, made once for all upon the cross, his mighty resurrection and glorious ascension, and we look for his coming to fulfill all things according to your will. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Renew us by your Holy Spirit. Unite us in the body of your Son. And bring us with all your people into the joy of your eternal kingdom. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, with whom and in whom, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we worship you, Father Almighty, in songs of never-ending praise. Blessing and honor and glory and power are yours forever and ever. Amen. The bread which we break is a sharing in the body of Christ. We being many are one body, for we all share in the one bread. Draw near with faith, receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shed for you. Remember that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Christ, keep you in it. eternal God and Father, whose Son at supper prayed that his disciples might be one, as he is one with you, draw us closer to him, that in common love and obedience to you, we may be united to one another in the fellowship of the one Spirit, that the world may believe that he is Lord, to your eternal glory, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Almighty God,
Almighty God,
thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies, just as a sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit, your praise and glory. Amen. Christ, the Son, be manifest to you, that your lives may be a light to the world. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be with you and remain with you always. On Tuesday evening at 7:30, there will be a meeting of the Select Vestry in the parochial hall. On Wednesday evening at 8:00, the bowling club will meet in the hall. On Friday, the lunch club will meet in the Pheasant Restaurant at 12:30. Sunday next, the fourth Sunday of Epiphany and World Leprosy Day, morning prayer at 10:00. The loose collection next Sunday will be in favour of the leprosy mission in Northern Ireland. The recessional hymn 501, Christ is the World's True Light.
Christ is the world's true light.
Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.